We think together today of that wonderful moment when heaven breaks through onto the earth as Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. And indeed, there is a mystery to our faith, a component to it that is beyond us and our ability to grasp it or earn it or work for it. And John speaks of that mystery in today's gospel reading when he says to the people who come to him in the wilderness, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." There is a power that is greater than human power, a spirit that is greater than the human spirit, a person greater than any human person. And that spirit can touch us and change us. It can fill us and use us. It can lift us up and inspire us. It can give us strength and heal and comfort us. And it can convict us of those areas of our lives where we have fallen short of what we should be and wash us clean of those stains. That power is the living God. That spirit is the spirit of the living God. That person is the son of the living God. And they are greater than we can conceive, more real than we can imagine, more loving and caring than we can or do expect. It is a mystery, and so often it takes us by surprise and makes our hearts glad. The Spirit comes to us when we have faith, and even when we do not. We cannot control it. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. But that wonderful thing comes to us freely, lovingly, and with wholeness in its wings. For it is our loving God. There was a story written by a woman called Jodie Seymour about the day of Christ's baptism. Listen and imagine being there. Hear the longing, a longing in every human heart. And hear the answer to that longing, the answer that comes from the heart of God.
Gnats flew patterns around his matted beard. The desert left trails of salt which disappeared into his hairy face. He was tired, but full of fire. His weariness stemmed not from the draining heat of the Judean sun, but from the growing burden he carried. His words weighed him down. He called the Pharisees snakes and shouted to them that their white robes could not hide their slithering deceit. His arid voice caught the attention of Herod, when the foul-smelling desert prophet pronounced his sentence upon the king. Crown or no crown, adultery was adultery. John's voice was indeed in the wilderness, and his solitude grew deeper, even as the seeking crowds came to him to be baptized. The dryness in his mouth could not be quenched, even with the water he used to give the people hope. It was the fire in his words that left him longing for the dampness of a salvation he seemed unable to provide. So many eyes were looking to him for answers and for light in the growing darkness of a world that often seemed to be forgotten by God. John could give them water and the promise of forgiveness, but he could not give them what he too sought. The longing in the wet faces of those he brought up out of the water asked him if he was the one for whom they waited. He tried to hide his own disappointment at not finding the Messiah among the people. He shouted the promise all the more so as to convince even himself. His mind wandered somewhere far away into the desert, though his body was waist deep in the slowly moving flow of the Jordan. At first, he did not even see the pilgrim who knelt before him in the river, waiting to be baptized. But then he caught the sunlight, reflecting from the beads of sweat on the man's face. and recognised him. I need to be baptised by you, and yet do you come to me? He managed to speak. In the background there was thunder, and a white dove dipped down near them in its sweeping flight. Still dripping with the water of John's baptism, the pilgrim walked towards the desert, leaving behind the solitary prophet drowning with joy. He was here. John splashed water onto his own face, as one who had finished a long journey. For the first time in many months, he felt his thirst satisfied.
Of course, this is a story. We do not know how for sure John felt. But we do know there is something more to our faith in Jesus, to our discipleship, to our believing in the promises he has made, that something comes from beyond us and touches us and satisfies our thirst. It is a power which can come upon us and wash over us and through us. It can be as a fire in the very heart of us and use us to God's purposes in ways that we never planned nor expected. It is a reality that is separate from our normal awareness and consciousness, but which intersects with our lives and breaks into our lives, sometimes gently in the still small voice, in the sense of peace and well-being we have, and at other times with signs that are more dramatic, in healings that we have sought but not thought possible, in times of reconciliation that we prayed for but did not dare hope for. God is real and does some amazing things, which is brilliant, because what needs to be done in our lives, we can't do on our own. And the changes that we all need to make, we cannot, no matter how hard we try, bring about by ourselves. God intervenes and does something more, gives something more than we can give. And the amazing thing is that God does it through the ordinary things of our lives, fulfilling the promise he made a long time ago, in the gentle nudges he gives us. God does it to bring us to people at their time of need, the time when they need God to come to them, the time when they need a sign of hope, a prayer, something more than they have to keep them going. And that is what our Christian life is all about. It is about ordinary things, human things, being touched by the divine, being washed by the Spirit, being given new life, new hope, new joy. That ordinary thing, water, a gift of God, without which there is no life. Ordinary water, plain water, symbolic of our dying to self and coming alive to God. And the Spirit of God, the fire of God, nothing ordinary at all. Yet it comes to us in the ordinary, in the arrival of a pilgrim at the River Jordan, in the laying on of hands of the faithful, and in prayer, in the flight of a dove, in the blowing of the wind, in our daily lives, and in the prayers of those in need. As we continue to struggle in our lives during this pandemic, we are called by the Spirit to express that love. As we speak and share fellowship together on the phone or through other technology, as we continue to pray for each other in our quiet times, as we share God's word together in online services and through posted and hand-delivered paper-based services, we continue to draw ourselves into the presence of God, to make spaces where God can work through his Holy Spirit, where through our hands and through our voices we can touch the lives of others and reveal God to them. And it is the Spirit that he pours out upon us, the Spirit which he sends to us as we call upon his name. And we rejoice, and we are humbled, and we work for his glory. Amen. Let us sing together again as we praise the Spirit of God at work in the world, as we sing from Singing the Faith, number 392, Spirit of God, unseen as the wind.